Good morning and welcome to the program. It's great to have you along with us this morning. In our lives, sometimes we must choose between right and wrong. As Christians, we have values that we must uphold when making these type of decisions. And we need to strive to make the right choices. So how do we make the right choices? We can't simply trust our emotions. We can't use the everyone else is doing it method. So what will work in our decision making? Asking a few simple questions just might help. So, in order to determine what's right and wrong, ask these questions. First of all, will it take too much time or money? You see, too often we get ourselves into projects or other events that we end up regretting. We've got to consider things before we set out for that endeavor. In Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 28, we read, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down at first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see him begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not first sit down and consider whether he is able with his 10,000 to meet the one who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." In Ephesians chapter 5, at verse 15, we read, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." We must consider the things that we're about to do to make sure that we're actually able to do them. Are we preparing our physical lives to be in line with our spiritual lives? Turn to Luke chapter 12 at verse 16. "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." If it takes too much time or money, we should probably steer clear. The next question we could ask ourselves to help us determine between right and wrong is, will it lead me to bad company? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." And 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 15, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" If our life's projects and efforts cause us to begin pleasing man rather than God, it's a wrong decision. The next question we could ask ourselves, will it hurt my influence for Christ? Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 reads, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing than to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set up on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth," but it says, "be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." If people aren't seeing Jesus in our lives, we've made a wrong decision. Next, will it keep me from doing my Christian duty? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. If you are no longer doing your Christian duty, it's wrong. The next question we could ask ourselves to help us decide between right and wrong is, will it harm me physically? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must take care of our bodies to the best of our abilities. If it's going to harm us physically, it's a wrong decision. The next question, will it harm me spiritually? Romans chapter 8 at verse 1. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. We read, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. It is important that we do not harm ourselves spiritually. If it harms us spiritually, it's a wrong decision. The next question we could ask ourselves, does the Bible condemn it? Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 2 John chapter 1 verse 9 reads, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God." He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. It's important that we stay within the realms of the commands that God has given us. If the Bible condemns it, it's wrong. Will it harm others spiritually is the next question. Romans chapter 14 at verse 13 reads, "Therefore let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, to not put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way." And 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 9 through 13, "But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered by idols? And because of your knowledge, shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat again, lest I make my brother stumble." We've got to be careful. Some of the things that we can do that aren't necessary could cause someone else to stumble. We've got to take care of each other as Christians. If it's going to harm somebody else spiritually, it's wrong. The next question is, will it corrupt my heart, mind, or soul? We read in Proverbs chapter 4 at verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." And Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." And Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." If it corrupts our heart, soul, or mind, it's wrong. If you would be able to answer yes to any one of the questions that we just asked, you need to rethink whatever decision you're about to make. In order to know right from wrong, we must search for the answers. We must pray for God's help. We must read the Bible to find God's answers. Which way will you choose? Will you choose right, or will you choose wrong? Choose right today. If you haven't become a Christian, hear what the Bible has to say about the way to become a Christian by hearing the Word of God, believing it to be true, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Don't wait till it's too late. If you have become a Christian following those steps and you've fallen away from the church, get back with God through repentance and through prayer. And if we can help you in any way, let us know. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. If you'd like, you could stop by and see us for one of our services. We meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Bible class. Our worship service starts at 10:25 and again at 6 p.m. that evening. On Wednesdays, we meet at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Stop by and see us if you've got questions or if you'd just like to join us for worship. If you'd like to call, you can call me at 304-727-0761, or you could email me wvdj105@aol.com. You could look us up on the internet at www.washingtonstcofc.org or on Facebook at Washington Street C of C. If you're not in the St. Albans area and you would like to visit the services of a Church of Christ, get in touch with me and I'll get you in touch with someone who can help you. Until next week, we thank you for joining us for the program Words of Truth.